Today's daf is Pei Zayin. We got to the Mishnah in the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Bas Yisrael shenisei shlekohen, a girl who gets married to a kohen, tocha b'tshuma, she's allowed to eat tshuma, because as we've seen before many times in the Masechta, that when she gets married to a kohen, the kohen is allowed to feed her tshuma. Mace, let when her husband, the kohen, dies, v'lo heimanu ben, and she has a child from him, so her son, who's the kohen, tocha b'tshuma, she's allowed to continue to eat tshuma because of her son, who's the kohen. She eats and the son is machil to her. Right, so that's the concept, exactly right. The son is machil because she's ochel because the son is machil her, right. Nises lelevi. So now, from the same situation, not a new case, I think it's continuing on the same case now. Sorry?
It's the same case.
Right, so now this woman who has a son who's a kohen, nises lelevi. She gets married to a levi. Her husband's a levi now. Tocha p'maiser, she can eat maiser because of her husband, but she cannot eat truma anymore. Rashi says that because now since she's married to a levi, she becomes a zara with respect to truma. So she eats maiser but no truma. Mace v'lahi mana ben. Now her husband the levi dies, but she has a son from this second husband who's a levi. She has one son who's a levi, one son who's a kohen. She could continue to eat tocha p'maiser, but she still cannot eat truma because her son the levi holds her back from eating truma. But she can eat meiser. Now, same woman, Nisus Yisrael, she gets married to a...
She's not allowed to marry a third time.
That's Machlokas Rebbe and right. So I guess this one...
No, this is according
right.
to...
Yeah, I guess, yeah. This might be a...
right.
You might bring this as a raya that you could marry, or you might want to say that the Gemara is just creating a case to teach a certain halachas, even though it's not a practical case that could be applied. Right, so Nisus Yisrael... So she gets married to yet a third husband, who's just a Yisrael. Lo tochal, lo b'tshuma, lo b'maiser. She can't eat anything. Not maiser, not tshuma, just chulun. But and let's say mace. Let's say the third husband, the Yisrael, dies. V'lahi manu ben, and she has a son from this third marriage, who's Yisrael. Still, the halach applies. Lo tochal, lo b'tshuma, lo b'maiser. She cannot eat tshuma, maiser, because this third son, who's Yisrael, holds her back from eating those. Now, same case. The Mishnah says mace b'nab Yisrael. Her third son from the Yisrael dies. Tocha b'maiser, she falls back to the previous relationship, namely that of her eating meiser. So her son, her second son, who's a levi, allows her to eat meiser, but she still can't eat truma. Meis b'nami levi, her second son from levi, now dies. So then tocha b'truma, she goes back to her original state of being married to a kohen or having a son who's a kohen, and she can eat truma. And finally, meis b'na mi kohen, and her first son, who's a kohen, dies. Then lo tocha lo b'tshuma lo meiser, she can't eat anything because she goes back to being a vas yisrael, back to her father's house. Then the Mishnah continues on the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Now a new scenario: bas kohen, who of course was able to eat truma in the house of her father, she nisus yisrael, gets married to yisrael. Lo tocha b'tshuma, she loses the ability to eat truma anymore because she's married to yisrael. Meis v'lahi mano benj. Her husband dies, but they have a son who's Yisrael. Lo tocha b'tshuma, she does not eat truma because of her son, the Yisrael. Niseis le'levi, now she gets married to a levi. So now she's like building up. Last time we were going Kohen, levi, Yisrael. Now it's Yisrael, levi, to Kohen. So now her second marriage, she marries a levi. Tocha b'maiser, because of her most recent marriage, she has a she's married to a levi. She's allowed to eat meiser. Meis v'lahi mano ben. Now let's say this second husband, the levi, dies, yet she has a son. So now she has a son who's Yisrael, and also a son who's a levi. Tocha b'maiser, since her most recent son is a levi, she's allowed to eat maiser, even though she has a son who's Os Yisrael, you go to the most recent child. Then, Niseis l'kohen, now you go up to the next level, she marries a kohen, there's her third marriage, tocha b'tshuma, she's allowed to eat tshuma because of her husband, meis v'lahi mano ben, her husband dies, she has a son who's a kohen, tocha b'tshuma, she's allowed to eat tshuma because of her most recent child. Now, going backwards in the same scenario, Meis b'nam kohen, her son, the kohen dies. Lo tocha b'tshuma, she loses the ability to eat tshuma, but she's allowed to eat la'mais herself. Meis b'nam levi, but her and then her son from the levi dies. Lo tocha b'maiser, she loses the ability to eat meiser. Meis b'nam Yisrael, now her first son, the Yisrael, dies. Choseres lebeis aviyah, she goes all the way back to her father's house. Remember, she's talking bas kohen here. Val zen emar, and this is what the pasuk means when it says b'shave el beis aviyah kinureha milechem aviyah tochel. She reverts back to her times of being when she was younger to her father's house, and she could eat from her father's bread, which is referring to truma.
It's interesting that the Gemara inverted the order, right? The Mishnah on the started with Israel and then Levi and then Kohen.
Well,
the first part.
Well, I think because there are two different halachas, you might have made a different conclusion from the first Mishnah.
Right.
So they had to teach, I think, both scenarios.
No, what I mean that the order, because they're going more on what she can eat and what she can't eat, as opposed to the.
What do you mean?
The first part of the Mishnah goes Cohen, then Levi, then Israel.
Right.
It goes Israel, then Levi, then Cohen.
Right. Because I think there's something you learn from the second half that you would not have learned from the first half.
Right. No, I understand that. I'm saying the order to who she marries or he marries. But it's okay.
Okay.
In the first part, she starts out as a Bas Israel. In the second part of the Mishnah, she starts as a Bas Cohen.
Cohen. Right. So she's going. They're going from.
So there's no finish.
Worst scenario to best, to worst case scenario to best case scenario on both. The first one.
In the first one.
First one's going downwards.
The first one, she's Israel, she buries the coin, which is a best case scenario.
Good to bad.
Then Levi, which is worse. And then, goes from the best case scenario to worst case scenario, as opposed to whom she marries. Right. Because in all of the cases, at the beginning she can eat, and then she keeps on eating less and less. No.
Because in the second time she's...
No, a lot of halvitruma, no, it's not.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, leaving a ben is lav dafka, it's any zera. If they leave a bas also, is that sufficient for the...
Bat doesn't count.
Bat doesn't.
We said...
The pasuk is Zera. You know,
Zera in law, that's by Yibam. Zera in law, that's by Yibam.
Oh,
Ray Rashi, do you quote this also? That's by Truma?
Here.
I thought that's talking about Yibam, maybe not?
No, but you never go by the daughter. You always go by the male.
Say it also there. Quotes in the
Vayikra. It does say, I see. By Zera in law, Vishava Beisavir. So that would include any child, even a daughter then, yes.
Meaning. When she has only a daughter, not a son, not a daughter and
right.
A son.
She still can. She's the daughter also Michael then.
Yeah, the daughter is the same halacha. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Meis bina me Levi, tochal b'truma. So when her son from Levi dies, she's able to eat truma. So this is the case where she's a Bas Yisrael, the first half of the Mishnah. The Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen and then marries a Levi. And then her son from the Levi dies, so she reverts back to her eating Truma because her first son was a Kohen. The Hadra Achle Mishim Bino. So Minolan, so that's how you know you go back to her first son. Again, the case was Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, has a child, Kohen dies, she has a child who's a Kohen, she eats Truma. She gets a second marriage, she marries a Levi, has a son, Levi dies, her son is still alive, she eats Meiser, can't eat Truma. Then her son, the Levi, dies. She reverts back to her son, the Kohen, and is able to eat Truma. The Gemara wants to know, Midon, how do we know that is going to be the case? So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, Bas, Ubas, it says. Bas, Ubas, Ukman, Rabbi Kiva, the Darsh Vav. Because he darshins Vavs. So the Pasuk says, what's Bas, Ubas? The Pasuk here on the side tells us, Uvas Kohen, a Bas Kohen, Kisiye Almana, Ugrusha, Vizera, Einla. A Bas Kohen who's widowed or divorced, and she has no child, Vishava el Beis Avia, Kinura, she goes back to her father's house, Milechem Avia Tocha V'chol Zar Lo Seyochaba. So we're making a drasha of the extra letter Vas Uvas, the extra Vav, tells us that it's including another scenario of, she's not talking about Bas Kohen here though, it's talking about a Bas Yisrael, but even, I guess, if there's a child, the child's also able to revert her back to eating Truma, not only going to her father's house, but even to her son's house, if you will. I think that's the limit here. And then the Gemara says, a few tema Rabbanan, even Rabbanan could hold of such a drasha. Kula uvas kra yiseru. The entire word uvas, you're right, Rabbanan in general are not darshaning the letters vav. We've seen this in the past. This is earlier daf samaches, apparently we saw this 20 days ago. So even they'll be darshaning the extra word. The whole word uvas is extra, and they'll make the same type of drasha that she could revert back to her son's house to eat truma, just like she's able to revert back to her father's house to eat truma. Then the Gemara quotes a brayis atana rabbanan kishahaya choseres, when she goes back to her father's house to eat. We've seen this before. Choseres lechuma veinu choseres lechazav eshok. She's allowed to go back to eat truma, but she may not go back to eat the chazav eshok, the parts of the shlamim. Okay, so Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, Mikra, what's the source that she goes back to eating Truma, but she does not go back to eating chazei v'shok. Says the Gemara, he b'chumas ha-kodshim lo sochal, says the pasuk. This is a pasuk that says, this is the pasuk before the previous one. I read on the side, it says, uvas kohen ki siel ish zar, when she's married to a non-kohen, he b'chumas ha-kodshim lo sochal, she can no longer eat kodshim, which chumas kodshim, really, chumas kodshim refers to chazei v'shok, because chazei v'shok is what's been separated from kodshim. You have a carbon shlomim, that's kodshim. Chumas kodshim is what, which is separated chazei v'shok. So once she gets married, ubas kohen kisel ishar, when she gets married to Izar, she can no longer eat the bichumas kachim lo sochel. So you see, she's cut off forever, it sounds like. She can never go back to eating that kachim. That's the opinion of Rav Chisa, b'muram mikachim lo sochel. That's Rav Chisa's understanding of the source. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua brings another source, how we know she cannot eat chazei v'shok. Milechem v'lo kolechem, prat l'chazei v'shok. The pasuk says, "Ubas kohen kisei almanu gusha." When Bas Kohen gets widowed or divorced, she goes back for shava el beis avia kinureha. She goes back to her father's house. Mi lechem avia sochel, from some of the bread sheets, not all the bread. Doesn't say lechem. Mi lechem always tells us some of it, not all of it. What's it coming to exclude? It's excluding chazei v'shok. She may not go back to eating the chazei v'shok, the chumas kachim.
It's interesting. Here it says that if she's chazeret to eat, because the son from the Levi died, and she goes back to the son of the Kohen, then she can eat the chazei on that truma.
It's only when it goes back to Beis Aviha,
and
she excluded.
But if she goes back because of the son, then she can eat it.
Uh-huh. Is that Rashi or something?
No, it says Rashi.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, Kishi Chozeres, Rashi says Kishi Chozeres, Akra Koi, it's referring to the pasuk, Ubas Kohen Kisi Almano Gusha V'zer In La, I kept them reading. Kishi chazeres only lebeis avia chazeres lechuma, but not to chazei v'shok. Aval says Rashi ocheles b'shvil bana, she's allowed to eat because of her son. If her son's a kohen, she can continue to eat the chazei v'shok. The masnisin chazeres af lechazei v'shok kedam lekaman. We'll see this later on more clearly, I guess. Okay, then the Gemara says maskula rami berchama ema prat lehafars nadarm. Maybe from the words milechem, we only go back to some of it. She doesn't go back to all the halachas of her father's house, but maybe only some of them. Maybe that's coming to exclude that the father no longer has rights of hafaras nedarim. That the halachas tell us, the psukim tell us, that if she makes a neder while being in the house of her father is able to be mefer, could undo the neder. When she's married, her husband has the ability to. Maybe when she gets divorced or widowed, she goes back to her father's house to do hafaras nedarim. Comes the word milechem. No, the father does not have full rights. The father is not able to be made for nedarim, and maybe has nothing to do with chazei v'shok. Maybe that's the dik that should be learned from this. Gemara says, not sure. You wouldn't think that, because Amar Rava kvar paska tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel. We already have a psak, a halacha to the tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel that tells us neder almana ugusha yokum ala. It's a pasuk that's found where like Matos Masa area, I think. Yeah, right. Exactly. The end. So neder almana ugusha yokum aleha. Any neder that an almana or grusha make yokum aleha should. Right. So anything she says is a stab. No one could be made for it. So once she's left the house of her father and also left the house of her husband, she's completely independent. Nobody has rights to control her nedarim. Ma tamalomer. What's the chiddush? Says Tanan Rabbi Yishmael. V'alom motza michal av u'motza michal bal. Of course, it's a pasha din. She's no longer in the reshus of her father because she got married. And she's no longer in the reshus of her husband because she's either divorced or widowed. So what's the pasuk telling us? It's pretty obvious that she's independent. Nobody has rights over her anymore. Even when she gets divorced, she doesn't go back to her father's house. Ella harei shemaser ha'av. So it's talking about a very specific case. Harei shemaser ha'av l'shlucho habal. The father gives his daughter off to the shluchim. The husband has sent messengers to come collect, if you will, to marry off the daughter. She's a Tabina Rusa, right? You can't do Nisun until you actually meet them. So they do Shluchai Kedushin. No, Kedushin, not Nisun. It's Nisun?
Yeah, Nisun.
Oh, so it's not going to, they're not performing.
She's already Arusa and he's...
So they're not performing Nisun. They just bring her over back. No Nisun takes place. They're bringing her back. They're retrieving her to bring her back to the husband. They're in the process, I think.
No, he's sending shluchim that he should marry her. She should.
The shluach is performing the nisuin.
I think so. That's...
don't think so.
To bring her to the future husband.
But to bring her to, right, not to perform the marriage.
No,
right.
They perform the wedding.
That's what I'm saying, right.
The husband.
Right. So I think they're just coming to
take her.
Bring her back to the husband.
He physically gave the daughter, who was Arusa, to Shluchim, that they should take her physically to the bar,
right.
So I should do Nesuin.
Right, so they should do it when she gets it. So she's right now in the...
It's not a Shlichus, it's just
right.
A message, like
exactly.
Somebody to take her.
Exactly.
Ah,
it's okay. The UPS service bringing
right.
Her over as a package.
Yeah.
So... So again, Haresha Masar Av L'Shlucho. So she's already engaged. So he hands off his daughter to the Shluchei Baal to come bring her back to the husband to perform Nisun. Oh, Shemasar Shluchei Av L'Shluchei Baal, or the messengers of the father are passing her off to the messengers of the husband. And then along the way, Nis Armala or Nis Garsha, so her chassan dies, or her chassan decides that I'm not going through with this. He divorced her from the Erison. Bederach, along the way. How can I refer to she's not here nor there? She's not in the house of the father because the father already sent her off, but she hasn't yet arrived to the house of her husband. So what status is she in? As long as she leaves the reshus of her father, even for just a moment, and she's in transit here, that's enough to no longer be in the house of her father. So that's what the Chiddush of the Pasuk is referring to.
While
but,
she's out.
When she's out, she's out. Right, except
for
Nedarim, exactly. But what we get from this is it was so obvious. The Pasuk wasn't talking about a case where she mamish got married and divorced. That was obvious. Once she gets married and divorced or widowed, that was pashut that no one has control over her Nedarim anymore.
So now we learn this from this Pasuk and not from the other Pasuk.
Exactly. So therefore, Milechem comes to teach us that she does not get the Lechem of Chazev Ashok. That's what it's referring to.
Right.
Nothing to do with Hafars Nedarim. That's already obvious from the Tanya of the Beit Rabbi Yishmael. Second here. Okay, just looking at Tosfos for a second. Okay. Says the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Rapapa, two narrow lines. Rapapa, Amar Milechem Avia Tochal. I skipped, sorry. Rav Safra, Amar Milechem Avia Tochal. Lechem Velo Basar. Rav Safra says, the Diyuk is as follows. It says, bread, eat bread. Bread is, Chuma comes from Degancha Tiyoshcha Mitzarcha. At least Degancha is Lechem. Chuma is, for the most part, bread. But bread, not basar, that tells us they cannot have the chazev ashok.
No,
that was a deal.
It's the same diuk.
No.
No,
milechem as opposed to kol lechem.
Ah.
So we weren't being vedaik in what the food was. Milechem was from, lechem just the term of any of the benefits you get from the father.
Same word of the pasuk.
Same word of the pasuk, yes. But different diuk. Same conclusion, same source and same conclusion, but different mechanism to get it.
All right, but it's
yeah.
Basically...
The first one was Milechem, was bread, was all aspects of the husband, of the father, rather. Only some of them are going back to Milechem as opposed to Hafar Sadar, we suggested.
They're both using the same word, and they're both taking out a partial...
But no, this one's better because there's no question. Milechem, we're being very specific,
Milechem
from bread, not meat. The first one was milechem from bread as opposed to all the benefits the father has. So once we said that, that's allowed the question to be, wait a second, what about Hafar Sadarm? Hafar Sadarm has nothing to do with bread.
Oh, so the only thing that she cannot is basar, everything
right.
Else.
Okay. And then that's according to Rav Safra. Rav Papa Amar, milechem avia tochal, lechem hakanoi lavia, prat lechazev ashok, to mishulchan gavah ka zachum. The dik is from the bread that comes specifically vis-a-vis the father from Avia, so the bread that the father gives over to her, that the father's makna over to her, as opposed to Chazav Ashok, that's not from the father. The father has no rights of that.
No,
that's a zechus you get from the Mizbeach.
It's not Mamona, that's the thing.
Right. It's Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu, and it's not coming from a base Avia, it's coming from a base Shuchan Gavoa. Now there's a Gemara somewhere, I don't remember where, maybe a couple places, that even Chuma is called Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu. Even though Chuma comes from the house of the father, there is such a concept like that.
Whole machlokas on Masr Sheni, right? If
that's machlokas, not Meshuchan Gavoa, but whether it's Hedyot or versus Gavoa,
right.
Not necessarily that comes Meshuchan. Meshuchan Gavoa is usually viewed as Mizbeach,
right.
But there is such machlokas, whether it's Mamun Hedyot, Mamun Gavoa, machlokas, or Meir Rabbi Yehuda. But by Chuma, there are some who, I think there are Gemaras that seem to indicate that even Chuma is called, even though it's not actually from the Mizbeach, it's referred to, it's categorized as Meshuchan Gavoa, Meshuchan Gavoa. Okay. But it's not literally Mishulchan Gavoa. It's very different than Shalom, anyways. Then Rava says, Rava Amar, Veschaze atnufa veshoka chuma tochelu ata ubenecha uvnosecha itcha. So that's the pasuk, itach rather. That pasuk says, the chaze, the parts of the shamim, you should eat, you, your children, your daughters, with you. So what do you mean, itach? Yes, sir? Bizman she itach, only when she's with you is she allowed to eat chaze veshok. But I guess once she has left you, even though she goes back, she's no longer considered itach anymore. I guess that's a diak. Rashi doesn't explain this diak, but I'm guessing that's what the diak is here.
Mila itach ba lelamed she'achilat banot kohanim bechaze veshok idavka bizman shehen itach dehainu shehem bebeit aviyem shelo nisahu.
That they never got married. Even though they may have got married and came back, that's not considered itach. It has to be continuously with you from the time they were born until now. Okay. Then Rav Ada bar Ava Tana kishi chozeres the beis avia chozeres the chuma veino chozeres the chaze v'shok b'shivuna chozeres af the chaze v'shok. So that's what you mentioned before. Rashi alluded to this idea that only when she goes back to her father she loses the rights to eat the chaze v'shok. But if her son the kohen is still alive, then she's allowed to continue to eat chaze v'shok, even though she was married to a second husband with Levi and she lost that ability to have chaze v'shok. But that son dies, she can go back to her son the kohen. As opposed to going back to her father's house, she cannot eat chaz v'shok. So the Gemara says, "Azal Rav Mordechai Amr l'shmaisa kamid Rashi." Rav Mordechai presented this halacha in front of Rav Rashi. "Am mehecha kam misrabe? Where do you learn this? What's the source? Mi vibas from the pasuk ubas." So Gemara says, "Mi adifala mina." So is he better? The son better than her? Meaning what? Right. Is the son, the Kohen, better than going back to her father's house? Why is the son better? So says the Gemara, Hasam ksivi miuta, hachalok ksivi miuta. Because with respect to the going back to the father's house, there's a miut that's mentioned. It says, melechem, or whatever miut you wanted to use above. We had like 6-7 different miutim. There's a miut. When the Kohen talks about going back to her, she eating because of her son, there is no such limitation, no such limiting words. Which pasuk allows her to eat? I remember the pasuk that allows her to eat truma from the son. What's the source of that? The Zera Ein La, I guess? Right, Zera Ein La.
אמורה אלא לגבי בת כהן החוזרת לבית אביה ולא לגבי אישה חוזרת להתר מחמת זרע שיש לה מכהן. Meaning that there is no pasuk, it's just that she goes back. It goes back to the regular case where she's fed by the son.
Right, so I'm thinking, what's the source allowed? That we use the word uvas, right? Uvas. The word uvas was, at that the beginning of Gemara told uvas, right. The vav, or the whole word. So that word uvas was the inclusion that even her son is able to feed her. And there's no limiting words there, so we said it goes back entirely. As opposed to lechem beis avia, whichever word you used, there was some type of limiting pasuk there, which said it was restricted to only chuma, but not to chaz v'shok. It basically exerts a kasuf, that's what it comes down to. And there might be some svar, some of the Rishonim might want to explain, but it's exerts a kasuf. Okay, Tosa actually asks an interesting question. Look at bottom Tosos here. Hasam Ksivi, he asks, Hasam Ksivi Miuta, Hachalok Ksivi Miuta. There is a number of Miutim that we mentioned before, why a woman cannot go back to her father's house and eat the Chaz V'Shok. Asks Tosos, Temelari, Bishma L'chol Hanech, it makes sense to all the Zamarayim, the Darshi Mishar Kroi, the Chsib Hu Avia Asishapir, the Miuta Ksiv Gavi Avia Dafka. All the Psukim we mentioned all made sense, Beis Avia, Mi Beis Mi Lechem, whatever the Pasuk was, Aval, Liravina Bar Shila, the Darsh Mehi, the Chumas HaKadshim, he had a different diak, nothing to do with the Mibes Avia. He had a separate pasuk he used. My Mashma, the Ahi Bechazar Slabes Avia Mari. That pasuk Ravina's source was Ubas Kohen, Kiel Slish Zar. When she marries a non Kohen, he be Chumas HaKadshim Losochel. Sound like she can never eat Chumas Kadshim, which is referring to Chaz HaVishok. So according to him, there's no indication that this is referring to only if she goes back to the Beis Avia. So how, according to him, that's a bekasha. According to him, even going back to the son's house should not allow her to eat chaz v'shok. Says Tosfos V'yesh Lomar Kevin the Kasa Reisha the Kra Ubasish Kohen near the Bechazeres L'Rishus Avia Myri, because this pasuk of Ubas Kohen Kisel Izar he betrumas kachim lo sochal is the pasuk right before Uvas Kohen Kisel Almano Gusha. Since even though the two different psukim, since they're juxtaposed to each other, you can learn one to the next. So the only time lo sochal she can't eat the trumas kachim is only when she's Uvas Kohen Almano Gusha. So they are connected. That's what Tosfos explains. Okay. Right, back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, the two dots, Bas Kohen, Shinishas, the Yisrael, Bas Kohen, who used to be able to eat Chuma, is now married to Yisrael, and then she can't eat Chuma anymore, dies, gets married to a Levi, and gets married to a Kohen. So that scenario, the second half of the mission, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Vishava El Beis Avir. She goes back to her father's house, Prat L'Shomeres Yavam. So, to the exclusion of, if she does not go back to her father's house, she cannot go, as she's a Bas Kohen, if she's still Zakuk, there's a Yavam, her husband dies and they have no children, she's Zakuk to someone, she does not revert back to her father's house. Kinnure, like when she was younger. Prat L'Muberes, if she's pregnant, she also does not go back to her father's house, even though she's a Bas Kohen. She's being held down by her fetus. Halo Dinhu, so Gemara says, wait a second. Isn't this a Kal V'chomer? Ma B'makom Shlo Asa Vlad Min HaRishon Kivlad min hasheni leproto min hayibum asa ubar kiyalad. I'm going to read the Kav Chomer, then we'll go through it. Malkum shasa vlad min harishon kivlad min hasheni leposla min hachuma eno din shen asa ubar kiyalad. So that's the Kav Chomer. It doesn't seem so clear. Let's read that again. Ma b'malkum shlo asa vlad min harishon kivlad min hasheni. Just like in a place where we do not equate the first child like the second child. So what's this referring to here? Exactly. If she has a second marriage, let's say her first marriage, she has a child. Husband dies.
That's interesting.
She has a second marriage. Husband dies without a child. So from the second marriage, since there are no children, she is chayv nibum. Even though she has a child from the first relationship, that has no impact on this second marriage. So the way you read it is as follows. Ma b'makom shelo asa vlad min harishon kivlad min hasheni. We don't view the first child, the first marriage child, as it's part of the second marriage. We ignore that first child, the poter min ha-yibum. We don't allow the first child to exempt them from the yibum in the second marriage. There is a chiv yibum. Yet, asa ubar kiyalad. Yet we still say that if she's pregnant from the second marriage, it is as if the child is born.
That she's p'tura mi-yibum.
Exactly. So then, a makom she'asav lad min harishon kivlad min hasheni, in a situation where we do view the child from the first marriage as a child from the second marriage, leposel min hatshuma, that she's not allowed to eat chuma anymore if she's a child from the first relationship. So let's say the case is she's married to a Yisrael, and then the Yisrael dies and she has a child. Then she's married to a Levi, let's say, and without children, the Levi dies. We say the first child does passel her, even though the second marriage, she has no children from the second marriage, you would think she goes back to Beis Aviyah for eating Chuma. We say, no, she has a child from the first relationship still. So we view the first Vlad as the second Vlad. So isn't it obvious then, Eino din shenasa uber kiyolid? So then, too, shouldn't we say that if she's pregnant from the second marriage, that should certainly exempt her, passel her, from eating Chuma? Should I go through that again? You're comparing Yibum to Chuma. So in the case of Yibum, we're saying the first child is not viewed, we don't acknowledge the first child as part of the second relationship. And if the second relationship has no child, there's a chi of Yibum, even though there's a first child from the first relationship. We ignore the child.
But if she's pregnant.
But we still say by Yibum, if she's pregnant, that will exempt her from Yibum. So in the case of Truma now, that a first child will hold back her from eating Truma, even from the second marriage, we do acknowledge the first child. So certainly, we should acknowledge her if she's pregnant to also exempt her from eating Chuma. And you don't need a pasuk of Nureh Prat L'Muberes. It's based on Kal V'Chomer. You could come to the same conclusion. No need for a pasuk.
By the case of Chuma, the first child, the child from the first marriage, isn't holding her back from eating Chuma in the second marriage. It's only if after the second marriage, if he dies, the second husband, without any kids. But if she got remarried, even though she has a child from the first marriage, she would be able to eat while being married in the second marriage.
If she's married to a Kohen in the second marriage. If it's a Levi.
It's just he's holding her back. If then he dies, the second husband, that first child is still important enough to hold her back from returning.
Right, and he says, Yavama, if the husband, the second husband dies, the first child is not holding her to you.
Right. So that's the Kavah Chomer. I hope it was somewhat clear. So the Gemara says, "Lo, not true. This is not a good Kavah Chomer."
No, because it's, of course.
Right. So Mali Asa Ubar Kiyalud Linanibum. What's a pregnant woman viewing her as already the child being born with respect to Ibum? Sharei Asa Mesim Kichayim. So then Nasa Ubar Kiyalud Linan Chuma Shalon Asa Mesim Kichayim. So there's a big distinction between the two cases. Because with respect to Yibum, we make a mesim kechayim. So
they were not considered to make a mesim.
No, because zera, because yellow zera, because if it's zera, it says
lakim lo
zera. The whole right lakim lo zera, lakim shem leachiv. So this would be done.
So look at Rashi. You see three lines on the bottom. Leinin Yibum sharei asa mesim kechayim. When it comes to Yibum, we even view the mesim as coming to life. What does that mean? Meis bala, her husband dies. V'acharkach meis bina, and then her son dies. Harei hu kechai, v'eino chozeres l'hisyabem k'darmina mishmaisa darche darchinam. Even after the son dies, we say, wait a second, so she died, her husband dies, and they have a child. So there's no yibum. Then the child dies. Maybe you should say, now she's childless. Maybe she should go back to the yavam. No, the mace is viewed as always kechai, whatever that means. Not really, but she's always exempt is another way of the Gemara trying to say. So the maceim are kechayim. So there, just like we can make maceim kechayim, we could also make the ubar kiyalud.
What happened if she got married? She has a kid. The husband died. The kid died, and then the husband died.
So shas misa. Now then she'd be chayv. All got shas misa. So what the Gemara saying?
Different question. Yeah. I have a different question. What happens? Married, and then she's mapil.
She's mapil, okay? Like a nofela, she's saying? She's nefel?
No.
Okay.
And then he dies. Is she chayev? Because this would be the case. Is she chayev in Yibum or not?
Mean he died before she was muberes when he died, and then she was mapil?
She was muberes, and while they are married, she's mapil, and then he dies.
No, because shas misa, she wasn't pregnant. It all goes based on shas misa.
So if this is the case, so even here.
No, this case, she had a child. She had a child when the husband died. There's no Yibum. Then the child dies.
But the bottom line is that a Nefel is not considered a kid.
Why you need to consider Matim Kechaim? Doesn't matter, because Bishat Mitah, she had a kid.
Right, so I agree. It's a strange Svara. It all goes Shas Misa. It's a strange Svara. The Gemara says...
With Truma, by Truma, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't finish the line.
Right. But the Svara is not that we view a mace as being Chaim. The Svara is because Shas Misa, there was a child. Unless the Gemara is implying there's a constant Chiv, and we always view this mace as being Chaim, which is it seems to be a big Chiddush, but we have to look at Rishonim to see how they understand this. But the surface reading, this seems like a big Chiddush to say
well, Lamedus, I mean, in Svara, you would think, you know, if the whole reason is Lahakim Shem, and now her son dies, why would, in a Hanami, you're right, the mechanics of it, it's past, there's nothing they can do about it. But she's still lacking in now the perpetuation of the dead husband's name, because the son's no longer there.
Yeah, but based on the things we've seen, Shas Misa is the crucial moment. Mm-hmm. So once that moment passes, I would find it hard to believe, unless this Gemara is telling us otherwise. So the surface of this reading is that, yes, there's a constant chiv to be making Shem Achiv, but we always view the mace as being alive, whatever that means. So just like the Gemara says, just like we can view a mace, the child who dies after his father, we view him as always being alive.
Right. No, that I can understand, because once a neshama came to the world, the father's neshama came to the world.
Why are you talking neshamot now?
You're getting into David's world now.
No, meaning it's not so important if the father, if the boy lived 1 year or 100 years, because he was here.
No, but we don't view that as alive. We view the time the father died, was there a child or not?
Right.
So there was a child. The fact that he dies the next day doesn't make a difference anymore.
Right. He's still a Shimon. He's still a Roshim.
So
right.
The,
there is a Roshim.
So anyway, so the Gemara says, either way, we view the mace as being alive. We're able to view the mace, even though it's really dead, we could view him as being alive. So too, it makes a lot of sense. By an ubar, we could view the ubar as being born. We could view different stages of, we could look beyond reality, is what the Gemara is basically saying.
So again, so if she's in the ubar, and then at the time of the ptira of the husband, and then she's mapil.
We had the Gemara spoke about this.
Yeah, so we said she was potter.
I think Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish argued about this point, I think. I remember exactly. Yeah.
So,
let's stick to this case now. We are running out of time. So, again, the Gemara says, so it comes to Yibam, we could basically view beyond reality. Even though the child's mace, we could view the child as being alive. So, too, you could view the pregnant woman as, or the child, the fetus, as being born. So that makes sense why by Yibam, we're all exempt. But when it comes to Truma now, Lin and Truma, Shelo Asa Mesim Kechaim, are you going to say the same thing where by Truma you do not view the mace as being Chaim? Once the child dies, so then it goes back to the previous stage that she was in. So if her son was a Levi, let's say, she's a Bas Kohen, the Levi dies, she does go back to her father's house to eat Truma. We don't view the mace and the children as always being alive and always holding her back. So how are you able to say by a Muberis that should hold her back from eating Chuma? We don't view the Muberis, the Yalid, that the Uber rather, as being Yalid. So the Kavah Chomer doesn't make sense, therefore Tamalomer, Kinureh, Pratlu Muberis. We do require Gzeres Kasif to tell us that if she is Muberis by Chuma, she may not eat Chuma. Then the Gemara says, Vitzrich Lemichtav Muberis, Vitzrich Lemichtav Vizera Einla. The Pasuk has to both say if she's pregnant, one would say, wait a second, if she's pregnant, she does not go back to Beis Aviyah. Certainly if she has a child that's born that from a non-Kohen, she shouldn't go back to Beis Aviyah. Why do you need two different psukim? So the Gemara says, Di Kasav Rachmana Vizera Einla. If it simply said she has no children, Mekara Chad Gufa, Hashtra Che Gufa. Aval Muberis Di Mekara Chad Gufa, Vahashtra Chad Gufa, Ema Techel Tricha. If you have the pasuk Zera in law, she has no children, so then you would think initially she was one guf, and now she's two different guf. What does that mean? Oh, I see. Okay. So the point is, when it goes to Chajal Beis Avia, she has to go back to the original state she was in when she left the house. It goes back to, if she's married, or if she's a son, she's already different. She's not going back the way she was. She left the house as an individual, and she goes back, Muberis, or I should say the other way around, Vizera in love. She has a child, she's two individuals now. That's not going back to her father's house. You cannot revisit her old stage, so she cannot eat Truma anymore. But if she's Muberis, which she's viewed as one goof, she is going back to the father's house the way she left her father's house. We don't view the ubar as being born yet. She's still one, maybe a bigger guf, but she's still one guf. So that's why you need to say, even Muberis, she does not go back to the... So one could say in the Sfar, what does that mean? Does that mean to say that Muberis is viewed now as two gufim? Maybe she is, even though the child is still inside her, maybe it's two gufim, or it's just telling us it's a special gzeres hakasav, she does not go back to eating the father's house. V'kasav rachmano Muberis... If it said only Muberis is excluded, Demikara Gufa Srika, Vahashta Gufa Mulia. But originally when she left the father's house, she was empty. Long mission to the year. She left the house as being empty. She wasn't pregnant. Rashi is Srika's lush on top. Rashi Srika Reka Kamos Ilan Srak. Ilan Srak is a barren tree, right? Can't have any fruit. So that's the same lashon here. Srika, she left barren. She left really empty, not having any children. And she goes back full. So that's not the same way. She cannot go back to her father's house. Aval zera ein la, demikar gufa srika, vahasha gufa srika. She left as empty, and she's going back empty. She's a child, but that's not her. That's separate from her. Maybe ema la. Maybe she should be able to go eat chuma tshicha. That's why you need the pasuk of zera ein la. So both psukim are necessary. Now the Gemara quotes for us a siman. We find a few places the Gemara is given mnemonics to help us remember the next number of sugyas coming up. So the siman that's brought to us is Amar Le Lo Nasa Masa Bemisa Nasa Lo Nasa Bevlad Yavam Vechuma Yibam Vechuma Siman. So you read through the next sugya, we'll see how that works as a mnemonic to help us remember the sugyas to come up. Says the Gemara Amar Le Rav Yehuda Midi Askar Tel Rav. He said the following statement: Lo Nasa Mesim Kechaim Leinin Yibam Mikavachomer. The mesim should not act as chayim. They should not act as being alive with respect to yibam and from the following kal v'chomer. We said before that no, the mesim are viewed as chayim. Even after the son dies, so maybe there should be yibam now. No, we always view the son as being alive still. And there's a constant patur of yibam. And the Gemara says that shouldn't be the case. We should not view them as being alive based on the following Kal v'chomer. Ma b'makum she'osa v'lad min ha'rishon kivlad min ha'sheni l'posa min ha'chuma. Just like we do acknowledge a v'lad from the first marriage as being a v'lad from the second marriage, that disqualifies her from eating chuma. So let's say she marries a bas kohen marries a Yisrael and a Levi. And the Levi dies, she has no children from the Levi. But she has a son from the first marriage, the Yisrael, that will hold her back from ever going back to her father's house. So the Vlad Rishon is like the Vlad Sheni and holds her back from eating Chuma. And Lo Asa Mesim Kechaim, yet we do not, when it comes to Chuma, we do not view the Mesim as being alive. So let's say all her sons die. She does go back to her father's house. The Mesim are not viewed as being alive and they do not hold her back. So then when it comes to Yibam, when it comes to Lepotu Min HaYibam, that if she has a child from the first relationship, it will not exempt her from Yibam from the second relationship, then certainly Eino Din Shelo Nasa Mesim Kechayim, then certainly if a child dies, the Mace, we do not view them as being alive to exempt her from Yibam. So the Pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, Darcher Darchei Noam V'chol Nisif HaOseh Shalom. So how does that Pasuk answer? Says Rashi, Darcher Darchei Noam V'zu Shehoya LaBen. This person who had a son, v'lo nizkaka liyavam, and she was not zakuk tiyavam, v'nisit l'shuk, and she goes ahead and marries someone else, her second marriage. So again, she had one marriage, and she had a son, her husband died. There's no yibum. She goes out, marries another man, umes, and her b'na, her son dies. Im tomer tachlots, if we tell her to do chalitza, from the first marriage now, that she already married in the second marriage, we tell her to do chalitza now, because her son dies, harehi mizgana al balea. So now her second husband can say, "This is what's going on here. This really disturbs me." So Hokach al karchach ben ein la b'shas misa kamar hare yeshla. All goes to b'shas misa. What happens? Because we say no, it's continue chiyuv. What happens is she has a second marriage and then her son dies. We have her do chalitza from her old brother-in-law. That's going to be a big disgrace in the eyes of her husband. And darchei nam v'chol nisifei shalom. For that reason, we always go based on shas misa. It sounds like fundamentally, though, there is some theoretical constant chiyuv that goes on. But just because the pasuk buttresses that chiyuv, that would be the mechanism that's going on. Okay, let's go weiter. We still have 20 minutes. Okay. Gemara now says v'nasim mesim kechayin linin chuma makavachomer. Now we should make a different kavachomer. We should say by chuma a mace should be viewed as chayim. So if a bas kohen marries Yisrael and has a son, her husband dies, so she still cannot eat chuma because she has a son who's Yisrael. Let's say the son Yisrael dies, the Gemara is suggesting maybe she should still not be able to eat chuma, even though her son died, because maybe Mesim should be viewed as chaim, and should always hold her back from going back to her father's house. That's what the Gemara is suggesting based on the following Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Ma b'makom shelo asa v'lad min ha'rishon ki v'lad min ha'sheni l'potra min ha'yibam. We already said this now. A child from the first relationship will have no impact on the yibam on the second relationship. As long as the second relationship has no children, she's chayv nibam, regardless of having a child from the first relationship. So we do not view the Vlad Rishon as coming from the Vlad Sheni. Yet, asa mesim kechayim, we do view the mesim of a yibam to be constantly alive. So then,
Where is it?
In the Gemara? He'll help you find the top left column, apparently. So then, makum she'asa vlad min ha'rishon, kivlad min ha'sheni, in a situation, leposim min ha'chuma, when it comes to chuma, where we do view the Vlad from the first relationship as being from the second relationship and will hold her back from eating chuma from her father's house, it's not obvious then we should view by chuma that the chayim, the mesim rather, should always be chayim and her children, who even after they died, should always hold her back from eating chuma. Tamalomar, vizera ein la. When it comes to chuma, it all depends on lemaisa. Is there a child or not? There's a special gzeres kas. If you're right, the Kal v'chomer is very sound, but the pasuk says zera ein la. Does she have an actual child or not? If she has no child, we do not view the mesim as being kechayim. Then the Gemara says zera ein la v'ha ein la, and she lemaisa, she has no children. She therefore can go back to her father's house and eat chuma. Then the Gemara says, let's do another Kal v'chomer. Nasiv lab min harishon kivlab min hasheni. We're doing every permutation here possible. There should be four of them. Nasiv lab min harishon kivlad min hasheni l'inun yibum. We should view the child from the first relationship as a child from the second relationship and to pater from yibum. So the case being, she has a first marriage, has a son, husband dies. There's no yibum because she has a son. She gets married a second time and her husband dies. She has no children. She has a chiv yibum. But maybe we should say she should be pater from yibum from the child in the first relationship. She has a child, even though it's from a previous marriage. Maybe she should be exempt even in the second marriage. That should be learned from a kal v'chomer. How?
Does he consider his father, the second guy that she got married to, and she had a kid from the first marriage? Is the kid and the father has some kind of a halachic relationship?
There,
no, there's no connection.
It's a stepbrother, stepfather. I think the Mishnah in Sanhedrin...
Stepbrother, is it considered something?
So I think the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that they're pasul edus midirabanon. I think that's as far as we go. I think it's a pasul edus there.
It's nothing, basically.
Right. So, the Gemara says, so what's the Kal v'chomer? Ma b'makom shelo asa mesim kechayim linin chuma, that when it comes to chuma, we do not view the child who died as alive and constantly holding her back from eating chuma. We don't hold like that. Yet, asa v'lam min harishon kivlam min hasheni, but we do view the first child from the first relationship as part of the second relationship, and that first child will hold her back from going back to her father's house. But by even we constantly view the dead child as being alive. Is it not kavachomer that the first relationship child should be viewed as even from the second relationship? Therefore, tamalomer uven ein la v'ha ein la. It wasn't zerin la. It was ven ein la. If she has no son, and lemaisa she has no son. So even by yibum, it comes to lemaisa, is there a son or is there not a son? That's what it boils down to. Right. Now, according to this, you should just apply the same svara of a mesim and chayim. That's probably the next kavachomer. That we should never view the mesim as being chayim because uve ein la, ven ein la, v'ha ein la. I think that's what Gemara is about to do right now. That was the other one? Oh.
I think that counters that svara.
So why do we need that? If you have ven ein la.
Ven ein la is enough to tell you that the first husband's child doesn't count towards the second husband's child because of ven ein la. But it doesn't go so far as to tell you that Nasa Mesim Kechayim after the second husband were to die with, let's say, if a child were to subsequently die after that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, I see. Okay. So then the Gemara says, now we're suggesting, V'lo Nasa V'lad Min Arishon Kivlad Min Hasheni L'chuma. Maybe we should say, we should not view the Vlad from the first relationship as a Vlad from the second relationship, with respect to chuma. We said that the first child will hold her back from ever eating chuma if she gets married a second time even. We don't view everything as starting fresh. But Gemara said maybe it shouldn't. Maybe we should completely ignore the first child. And since in the second marriage she has no children, she should jump back to her father's house even though she's a child from the first relationship. That's what Gemara suggests based on the Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Ma b'malkum she'asim mesim kechayim l'potim min yibum. Just like by Yibam, we say that the Mesim are viewed as being alive and constantly pater her from Yibam. But lo asav la min arishon kivla min hasheni. But we do not view the child from the first relationship as if it's a child from the second relationship to pater from the Yibam, meaning there's a chiv Yibam, even though there's a child from the first relationship. So then when it comes to Chuma, Malkum shelo asav Mesim kechayim, a situation, linen Chuma, where we do not view the Mesim as being alive. Once all her children die, she does go back to her father's house. That's how we pass him by Chuma. Is it not a Kal v'chomer to say that her first child, the child from the first relationship, should have no impact on the second relationship? And if she's childless from the second relationship, she should jump back to the father's house, the truma, even though she has a child from the first relationship. Tamalomar ein la v'hayishla. As long as she has no children, but she has a child, albeit it's from the first relationship, but it is a child that does hold her back from going to her father's house. Hajr lach yesh. Motoris. Okay.
Motoris didn't bring Ubas there.
Ubas as the source?
Ubas told us that if there's a child from the first relationship, you always go back to the first relationship.
Yeah. Right here. Yeah. But this is saying, why not go back to the father's house? The other pasuk is why you do go back to the son's house. Okay. Had to yourself 10 minutes. Okay, let's begin the new parak. The parak tells us, Ha'isha shehalach bala lemidinas hayam. A woman whose husband goes off overseas, ubo v'amrula, they come back and tell her, meis balecha, sorry to tell you your husband had died. When he says, then she goes ahead and gets married, she trusts them, and By the way, Rashi tells us we're talking about an eid echad here. Even though it says v'amru, it's referring to an eid echad. One eid comes and tells her, all the halachas of this parak talk about the trusting nemanus for misa. How do you know, what do you need to, what type of proof do you need to know that someone's husband or someone died? Sorry?
There's no edut al pi'ed echad.
But exactly. So Gemara is going to discuss all these in Yanma, how we're makil when it comes to agunas. We don't want her to be an aguna. So based on one aid, we could trust her. Otherwise, she's stuck. She doesn't know, is it really true? Her husband died. She didn't know. He didn't die. He's not coming back. So there's certain haterim. So an aid echad comes along and says, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, but your husband died. Phoenicia, she goes ahead and marries another man. Acharkach babala. And then her husband shows up. Says, what's going on here? What's the guy doing in my house? So acharkach babala. She has to get divorced. She has to leave both marriages. And she requires a get from both parties. Because the second marriage never should have taken place, because there was never a hetter in the first place. Even though the eid echad was trusted, but the maaser husband was still alive. So halachically, there was nothing, she was still bound. And she has to get divorced from the first husband, because now that she was with another man, asr l'baal, asr l'baal, so she has to get divorced from both parties. Rashi says all this, I think.
Any complications?
Right, Rashi says it, okay. Let's look at Rashi, actually. Rashi says, teitzim mizeh mizeh. Kishar Eshizish. She's an Eshizish, even though she didn't know this. Shazinsa, and that was Mizana. Dahach, Lav, Anusa. She wasn't forced. It wasn't against her will. If she was Anusa, and she's Eshizish, she's allowed to be with her husband, and that's it, to Kohen. So she's not an Anusa. Vafa gav dem nini rabbanon, leid echad. What do you mean? She's an Anusa. The Chachamim said you could trust leid echad. So she was just listening to the Chachamim. She wasn't at fault. There's no shogig there. Even though that's the case, the leid echad ba'isha, even though we trust one leid echad ba'isha, mishum iguna, as iguna purposes, Taima, my mishum dehi gufa daika ad yada bekushta uminsva. Because we think that a woman is not really going to marry someone unless she really looks into it. She's not going to say, one guy's going to show up, by the way, your husband died. Oh, and they got to get married now. No, she's going to investigate a little bit, whatever she could do. So it's not fully relying on the eid echad.
She didn't.
What?
Who said she didn't?
The fact that she didn't do investigation, no, the fact that her husband's still alive, she didn't do her due diligence.
She didn't do investigation.
The fact that her husband came back tells us that she didn't do a good job.
So what's considered investigation, you know?
Again, if it's Megala afterwards, the husband never died.
You can do investigation, not find the truth, and then...
Okay,
no,
point is, so Rashi Tang is a great chiddush here. The fact that we trust in Eid Echad is not... we're not solely relying on the Eid Echad. The Eid Echad just gets the ball rolling. That's her starting to do investigation. She's not going to want to marry somebody else unless she really, really knows her husband died. So for that reason, she didn't do her part, and she's not considered an anusa. Ah, she listens to the chachamim? No, because she really should have done her due diligence, and she didn't. Okay, then the Mishnah says, ve'ein la ksuba, she has no ksuba, ve'lo peros, ve'lo mezonos, ve'lo blaos, lo alzeh, ve'lo alzeh. She gets nothing from both parties, both her first husband and her second supposed husband. She doesn't get any of this stuff. Vim nutla, mizeh mizeh, Tachzir, if she does take from them, she has to return back. She has no rights to it. Vavlad, from the second relationship, Vlad is mamzer, because she's an Eshes Ish and had a child from another man. That child from the second relationship is a mamzer. Mizeh u'mizeh, from both parties. So Rashi says...
She gets screwed.
It's u'mizeh, right?
Or u'mizeh. So they look at Rashi, see, Rashi, Vlad, mamzer, mizeh u'mizeh. Im yalda misheni, mamzer gamor. That's a vade mamzer. Vim shuv hachzir harishon, v'yaldalo have mamzer midirem. If she goes ahead and marries the first one, goes back to that first one, let's say she gets divorced from the second one, or does nothing with the second one.
Divorce.
Didn't need anything because there was nothing, there's no marriage. She goes to live with the husband anyways, the first husband. There's still going to be mamzer midireim, because us the baal, us the boel, she's us to her husband. Now, an isser to the husband is an isser lav only. It doesn't generate a mamzer. But midireim, the chamim said they're going to be a mamzer midireim in this case. But you have to be careful. You can't just trust in Erecha and get married without doing your work.
Can't let your husband travel overseas.
okay, then the Gemara says, V'lo zev zev metamila. Neither one, the first or second husband, can be metamit to her. If he is a Kohen, he's not allowed to be metamit to her. He's not, for the first, second husband, it's not a wife. And for the first husband, since she's usher to him, she cannot be metamit for her. And neither husband is zocha in any of these benefits. They're not zocha in anything she finds, any of her parnasa she makes. They have no rights to her, and they have no rights to be made for her nedarim anymore. They're completely cut off from each other. If she was a bas Yisrael, and this had happened to her, she's possible for, because now she's a zona. She was with, as an ashes ish. She was with another man. She's a zona, and a zona is usher to kohen. Ubas levi min a meiser. If she's a bas levi, she cannot eat meiser rishon anymore. That's a knas. Rashi tells us, and the bas kohen min a chuma. That's also a knas. She can't eat chuma either if she's a bas kohen. Vein yorshin yorshin shazeh. The yorshin shazeh yorshin es ksuvasa. So ksuva, Gemara is going to explain what ksuva is referring to. She doesn't get ksuva at all. Gemara is going to explain who's talking about who's getting what Yerusha, who's not getting what Yerusha. Vim mesu, achiv shozeh, achiv shozeh. If the brothers of either party were to die, so then cholzin. Sorry, if in mesu they die, achiv shozeh, achiv shozeh. The brothers cholzin lo miyabmin. Then they do chalitza. So I understand why the first brothers do chalitza. Why would the second brothers do chalitza?
Yeah, same reason why the second husband doesn't get.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, this is right. Some kind of drabon
here. Ah, okay.
Why? What the connection to chalitza here?
No, if the situation, let's say the husband dies, the first husband dies.
But she cannot be with him even. She's
no, but there is a.
He's not a husband.
No, they are not true. They're married. They have to get divorced though. Until the divorce, they're still considered married. They're also to stay with each other, but
even
they're still married.
She's married to the other guy, which is not
she's
married.
Not, right.
But she has a relationship with the other guy, so
okay.
That doesn't affect the status of the first marriage.
It makes the relationship usher, but there still is a marriage. They still are married with each other. They have to get divorced. So if they're married and that husband, the first husband dies, then now there's a chiv yibum. So we only allow their chalitza from the brothers, but no yibum from the brothers.
It says here that the reason is because mikol makom mitzvah chachamim l'shechlotzla meoto siva she'tzrichu get.
Right. From the second husband.
Right.
That's what Adam said.
So as they're forcing her to get a get, which she shouldn't get, they're also forcing her to the chalit.
But get from the second husband is ineffective because
it's
not
exactly.
A marriage to begin
with.
Right.
It's exera.
It's
exera. Exactly. I think going to explain why this is. Then let's at least finish the mission, I guess. Biyosi Omer Ksuvasa al Nichse Bala Rishon. Biyosi says she gets to collect the ksuba from the first husband. Now, I guess he argues, because we said before, she gets no ksuva, so he's saying differently. So, yeah, in Echnam, I think he argues on this point, that there's a ksuva from the first husband. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer HaRishon, Zaka B'mitziyasa, U'maisi Adel U'farsin Nidera. He takes it a step further. Not only does she get a ksuva, but the husband also still has rights, because L'maisa, they're still married. So, I assume we'll explain this in the Gemara, how this all works, but the husband does have the rights over her mitzios, and over her maisi Adel, and over her farsin Nidarm. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa Ochalitasa, Miyachav Sharishon, Poteres Sarasa, Vinavlad Mimenamamzer. So if, let's say, her first husband dies after coming back, and then her first husband dies, if there were to be Bia or Chalitza from one of the first husband's brothers, that would exempt all the other co-wives the husband might have. The husband comes back. So this one of his wives marries somebody else incorrectly. And the husband has many other wives. So when this husband dies without children, and one of the brothers performs Yibum on this wife who's usher to this first husband, that will be good enough to exempt all the other co-wives that this husband who just died had. That's what he's saying. And the Gemara,
even if according to the Tanakama, there should not be Yibum or Chalitza.
Yeah, because he says there should be Chalitza, not Yibum.
Right, there should be Chalitza. So
exactly.
Sounds like what Rav Shimon is just saying is there's Yibum.
Right.
He's arguing on the Tanakama. He's saying things sort of go their normal process.
Right. Exactly. Rashi says he's arguing on the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says no Yibum. He says that there is Yibum.
Right.
Then, again, Ve'en Havlad Mimenu Mamzer, and the child from this second relationship, if Rashi says rather, Im Hechazir HaRishon, if she ends up staying with the first husband, we don't view the child as being a Mamzer. Everyone agrees, Midirai says there's no Mamzer here. The question is whether there's a Mamzer Midirbanam. He says not even a Mamzer Midirbanam. Vim Niseis, the Mishnah continues, Vim Niseis, Shlob Rishus, if she gets married without any permission, I guess without any Eid Echad, Rashi says, Nisei Shlob Rishus Bezdim, Shebo Shnei Eidim Vamu Meis Balecha, two Eidim come now, and say that her husband died, V'Niseis Me'asma, Shared Lo Ha'isat Shichel Heter Bezdim, she says, oh, let me go get married. Two Eidim come to her door. She never goes to Basin and goes through a whole cross-examination and says, oh, this is enough for me to go ahead. Basin never gave her the stamp of approval. She marries based on the two witnesses coming to her. She gets married. Mutars lach so lo, she's able to go back to her first husband. Because that's considered anusa. Which is why that's considered anusa.
Because there are two
Eidim. Oh, she doesn't need Basin. You don't need Basin.
Two Eidim,
so that's completely anusa. That you can completely rely. Two Eidim is enough for you to rely on. No need for the research on your own.
Look, one person, what can do one person?
What?
What one person can do?
Okay. So Nises al pi bezin. Let's say Basin gives her the authority to get married. Tete. So then she has to get married, get divorced. Uptur mina karbon. She's pater from a karbon. Okay, this is interesting. This.
She's bathing with one aid.
So she has to get divorced. She has to get the, they approved it. She has to get divorced because she has to still do her due diligence. But she's pater mina karbon. Rashi says the reason being it's the yochid she also baras bezin pater. There's a whole mesach. It's called the horios. When Basin makes a mistake and a person acts upon the incorrect harab, they're pater from mina karbon. Lo nises, if she doesn't get married, al pi bezin, she just listens to eid echad. Tete, she has to go out. V'chayav es b'karbon, she has to bring a karbon because she had no right to get married in the first place. Yafakoch bezin shepot min a karbon. That shows the great koach lebezin. The bezin has the ability to authorize her to go move forward and get married, and to exempt her from bringing a karbon. Horu bezin linase. Bezin gives a psak. Go ahead and get married. V'halcha v'kilkla chayav es b'karbon. If she goes ahead and gets married, but marries someone who's ushered her, she's mekalkel, then she's chayav in carbon because she did not listen to Bezin entirely because she did something that was incorrect. But carbon shelo hetir el linase, the only permitted her to get married, not to be mezane. I think his machlok is exactly what the kilkula here is.
What's her understand? Im horo beit din al pi edechad, right?
That yeah.
Can, to get married.
Right.
Yalcha ve kilkila. What do you mean? Ah, to somebody else.